Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our learning together, yeah? Class. Okay, we turn to chapter 4. Okay. Chapter 3, yeah? We haven't finished chapter 3. All right, now, so John actually gave a very simple example here, yeah? saying that if we happen to see someone who, thank you. If we happen to see someone who is in need, and yet you know we shut our hearts from this person, and then how does the love of God abide in us? Right. I think that is a very important question. You know, from our daily life, we are small. Small things, you know, trivial matters in our life actually can reflect whether the love of God abide with us or not, right? So if we shut our hearts against someone, yeah, instead of showing love, we just turn our back on the person, and that is a sign of lovelessness, okay? A very simple example. Okay. Now, if you speak ill of another person, you attack another person, and that is even a clearer sign of not having the love of God in us. Yeah. Now, okay, verse 18. Yeah, here John again is like, you know, he lays down the principle. My little children, let us not love in words or in tongues. We do not just talk about love, yeah, but in deed and in truth. Okay, now there are three aspects here, right, that I think we need to understand. Okay. Now, the first one is words. Yeah? Yeah, we talk about how to love, right? Like in the Bible, right? It talks about, it teaches us how to love, or sometimes we discuss how to help someone, you know, stuff like that. It's like words. And the second is deeds. Meaning, actions. Right? Now, I think to most people, or the practice of the world, yeah, the practice of the world is such that people of the world stop at this level. Yeah? They talk about it like, you know, we need to help this group of people, and, you know, like instantly they carry it out. You know, like, like providing them with needs or whatever. Okay. But for Christian, it's different. There's one more thing we need to bear in mind. What is that? We have just read the verse. What is that? In deed and in truth. Okay. So this is the foundation. Foundation. Right? We cannot do away with this, because we are talking about the love of Jesus, and we want to love others according to what the Bible teaches. So the truth must be put in place, must be the basis for us to love. You get what I'm saying now? So if someone, you know, I encountered a Christian from other churches. You know, they will say to you, what is most important is the actions of love. Right? You must make sure that you carry out the actions of love. Most of them forget that the truth is equally important. Okay? Without the truth, we would not know how to love correctly. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? That's why, you know, sometimes they said to us, you know, why do you spend so much time talking about the doctrines, because wherever we go, we preach the doctrines of the church. Because that is what the way of salvation as far as we are concerned. Okay? Now, think about this. If we can bring someone into the body of Christ and get him baptized, right? He's convinced that this is the church of God, right? We save a soul, and that is the greatest love. Is that not so? Yeah? Is that not true? You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So, remember, as far as we are concerned, there are three aspects, not just two. Right? This one is very, very important. Now, I tell you what, when we come to 2 John and 3 John, we'll see the importance of the truth in relation to loving others. Yeah, basically, you know, you find that these two aspects are inseparable. Okay? You get what I'm saying now? All right, now, let us think about this situation here. If within the church, listen, me, okay, I don't have love, or I don't show enough love to the brothers and sisters, right? Can you therefore come to a conclusion that the truth is not important? No. Yeah, the truth is the basis. If I'm not able to put love into practice, the problem is not with the truth. The problem is with me. You get what I'm saying now? Don't confuse the two. You understand what I'm saying? Right? I have known the truth, and the problem with me is that I'm not able to put the truth into practice. If I'm able to do it, it means that I will be able to love. You get what I'm saying now? Right? Now, so it is not correct. It is not correct to say that, you know, when you talk to people outside, yeah, they will tell you, love, yeah, love, and this one is the truth, and they will tell you this the way, love is greater than the truth. Do you know what this is? That's the problem with many, Christian. They said, oh, we need to love everyone, including all the gay people. Because God loves everyone. You know, therefore we must love them also. Yeah, we love them. They come to church, what happened? They must change their behavior. This is how we love them. Right? We cannot say, we love them. Let them remain who they are. Oh, finish. The church will become corrupt. You understand what I'm saying now? Right? On the basis of the truth, we love, and we know how to love. Is that clear? In the church, actually, there are people who were very evil before. Class, listen. Okay, now, in the church, TJC. There are members who were very evil before. Yeah, they practice all kind of thing, including homosexuality. You know, we accepted them. But when they came in, we said to them that you cannot do it again, right? And you must repent of your sin. And you know, some of them, you know, happily agreed with what we said, with what the church said. And they were baptized. And now they live a normal life. That is love, based on the truth. Is that clear? So we cannot adopt a worldly concept by saying that love is more important than the truth. Is that clear? Okay? Now remember, if me being a preacher, yeah, cannot put love into practice, the problem is not with the truth. The problem is with me. Okay? Don't blame it on the truth. Don't blame it on the doctrine of the church. You get what I'm saying? Yeah?
look confused. You look confused. Yes, sir.
Okay, we move on. If you have understood, then we move on. Okay, next one. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to what? To verse 19, yeah? And by this, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before Him. Okay? Now, meaning, in our life, okay, if we talk about love, right, obviously, we are required to love as Christians. So, if we can talk about love, we can carry out the actions of love, we can perform deeds of love, and at the same time, yeah, all our actions of love are based upon the truth of God, then here it says we know that we are of the truth. Okay? Now, so please bear this in mind. You know, people can do a lot of good deeds, so-called love, actions of love, but if they fell outside the boundary of the truth, then you find that, you know, eventually they end up, what? End up of not being of the truth, not being in the truth. You get what I'm saying? So remember, if I try to, you know, do an act of charity, and if this act of charity is for outside the parameter of the truth, oh gee. Class, you can laugh now if you want. Okay, stop. Enough. Okay. Now, so today, if we love and not within the boundary of the truth, then, you know, we can be judged as not of the truth. Not being of the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Our actions will be judged. So if we follow this, then we can be rest assured that we are in the truth. That is the principle that John has laid down clearly for us to follow. Okay, now we move on. Verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Now, how is it that our heart will not be condemned? Because we walk in the truth. Whatever we do, be it the actions of love or the way we lead our life, we find that is within the truth, is on the truth. That's why our heart will not be condemned. You know, if we have done something right in the eyes of God, yeah, you know, deep inside our heart, even when we are in our bed, yeah, we are very peaceful within. Very peaceful. Is that not true? Right? Now, on the contrary, if we have not been walking on the truth, sometimes you find that, you know, we can even have many sleepless nights. Because there's fear within. Our heart is condemned. Yeah. That's why it's very important. To me, this passage is very important. It's very, very important for us not only to know how to practice love, but actually to ensure that, yeah, we are kept in the truth. Right? We are kept in the truth. Alright. Okay, we come back. Now, we look at verse 22 now. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do these things that are pleasing in His sight. Okay. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Okay. Now, you find that when we practice the truth, obviously, whatever we ask of the Lord, you know, our asking will always be within the boundary of the truth. We will not ask amiss. Like what is mentioned in what? In James. Some people, they ask amiss because they want to satisfy their pleasure, satisfy their desire. Okay? That's why they ask amiss. Now, if we always walk in the truth, you find that when we pray, Yeah, our prayer will be in accordance to the will of God. And God will listen to our prayer. Yeah? Okay, now, so, verse 23, again, the issue of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is addressed here. Basically, is to, bring to their remembrance that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the Son of God is called Jesus. Right? Because in those days, like what I said, the background of the epistle is that there was a certain section of the church, where you find that these people within there, they're denying what? Jesus being the Son of God. Or Jesus, they deny that Jesus has come in the flesh. That's the reason. And according to John here, that is the commandment. Okay? Now, the second part of verse 23, it said, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Alright? Now, so if we keep the commandments, then obviously God abides in us. And how do we know that the Spirit is in us? How do we know that God abides in us? Right? Now, again, I think the other day I mentioned this briefly. Okay. Now, we look at the situation in this way. Our duty is to keep the commandments of God. Yeah? Now, keeping the commandments of God is not the evidence of what? Of receiving the Spirit. Because the Bible says, when you keep the commandments, God abides in you. Right? Now the question is, how do we know that God abides in us? According to John, it is because he has given us the what? Given us what? Hey, read that. Yes, it is because he has given us the Holy Spirit. Now, we have talked about this concept of giving, not giving. Okay? Okay? Now, so, if you look at this, in terms of the giving of the Spirit, you find that when the Spirit is given, according based on Acts of the Apostle, a person would speak in tongues. That is the concept of giving of the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay, is that clear? Right? So, that is chapter 3. Any question on chapter 3? I have touched on 23 and 24 before. Yeah, so I don't want to repeat myself too much. Okay. No question? Right, we move on to chapter 4. Now, chapter 4, if you look at verse 1 to verse 6, here we always use this passage to speak to our friends, our Christian friends, with regards to discerning the Spirit, concerning the discerning of the Spirit, right? Now, here, when you look at this passage very carefully, John is not talking about talking to people out with the church. Yeah, he is actually talking about people within the community of faith. Okay? Now, bear this in mind. Look at verse 1 very carefully. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, to understand this better, I want you to turn back to chapter 2. Now, chapter 2. Now, they went out from us, but they... do you know which verse I'm reading? Oh, very good. Very good. Okay, verse 19. Yes, brothers, show them that you know. Okay? Now, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they have gone out, If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. Okay, so meaning they have gone out. Right? Now, when John said they have gone into the world, now this is the idea, okay? Sometimes it's hard to understand what he's saying. Okay, now, okay. Now, when believers are baptized, okay, they are enjoined into the body of Christ. So, as far as God is concerned, in this world or in this universe, there are only two realm or two sphere of existence. There's no connection. Sorry. Okay. Right. Now, so let's say this is the light, and this darkness. Right? Now, you know, when we are baptized, this like, you know, the bridge built by Jesus, yeah? Okay, so when we are baptized, we are enjoined into the body of Christ, yeah? And through the redemption of Christ, obviously. Now, so we are ushered into the kingdom of God. So there's the kingdom of light, okay? Now, for those, the Bible says, false prophets, they have gone into the world, meaning they have returned. Okay? That's the idea. You understand what I'm saying now? That's why the Bible said they have gone into the world. Yeah? It's like now, they no longer belongs to the kingdom of the light. They belongs to the kingdom of darkness. Now, that's why Jesus said it very clearly. We are in the world, but we are not. Yeah, fill in the blank. One of your test questions. You wish. Even a five-year-old kid, they don't hear, they don't say, okay. Don't make me laugh. Okay, let's come back. Okay? So that's why John said they have gone out from us. Okay? And John also said, now they are coming from where? Coming from the world. Right? So it's within, they've gone out, now they're coming. Right? Now, who are these false prophets judging from the context of John? The Antichrist. Okay? Who are they? Remember I told you before? Who do you think they are? They deny that Jesus has come in the flesh. Okay? And because they did not believe that the God being so divine, yeah, could be trapped in this corrupt flesh. Understand what I'm saying? That's why they said, nah, not possible. Okay, so they are the Antichrist. What? Now, they have gone into the world, meaning they are no longer of the community of faith. Okay.
What's so funny?
Okay, now come back. All right, now look at verse 2. Now, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Can you see now? That's the main point. Yeah? And in fact, that is the key feature of the entire book. Yeah. So John, wrote this book with the sole intention, at least with the main intention of combating the idea that Christ has not come in the flesh. Right? Now, you can understand, now people from within has gone out. And John said you need to test the Spirit. Okay, now how do you test the Spirit? By asking them, do you believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Yeah, obviously for the false prophet, you know, there was certain, they might pretend, yeah, but in reality, they don't believe, right? Now, anyone who denies that Christ has come, you know that straight away, the Spirit within is not the Spirit of God. Now, okay, but this is how. You know what John is talking about is much more complicated, yeah? Now, when a person, okay, a truth seeker, comes to the church, the normal practice of the church is that we encourage the person to pray for the Holy Spirit, yeah, having heard the truth of God. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, when the person received the Spirit, yeah, evidenced by tongue speaking, we know that God has given him the Holy Spirit. Yeah? This is how we discern Holy Spirit with tongue speaking. Okay? Now, when you talk about discerning the Spirit, it's very different, yeah? Right? We are talking about people within, yeah? People within, right? Now, some of them even had received the Holy Spirit before. So the discerning here are no longer based on tongue. Yeah? Based on what? The belief that they hold. You get what I'm saying now? Is that understandable? That's why John never said, go and listen whether they speak in tongue or not. No. What did he say? Did they believe that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh? That's the way. Right? Now, let me explain a bit more, yeah? Let me explain a bit more. If you look at the Apostolic Church for the time being. You know, when you look at the True Jesus Church, okay, TJC, right? Now, the mission of TJC is to reach out to people, yeah? Again, this church, TJC, does not belong to anyone. TJC belongs to God, belongs to, what's the name of God?
Thank you.
TJC belongs to?
Jesus.
All right, okay. Now, so you find that when the church, yeah, especially at the initial phase of the TJC, the church expanded very fast, okay, and many people received the Holy Spirit. What? Now, what does that tell us about? It means that the truth that we preach is correct. Yeah, because one of the key functions of the Spirit is to testify to the truth that we preach. I want you to read them. Acts of the Apostle. Chapter 5. Right. Now, Acts of the Apostle, chapter 5, we read verse 32. Can I get someone to read? 5:32. Okay, I read myself. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Spirit whom God has given to those who obey. Right? Now, obey the truth is very clear in the minds of the apostle. The Spirit is only given to the listeners when they obey the truth. Meaning, what the apostle preached, yeah, is correct. And that is confirmed by the giving of the Spirit. Now, look at the expansion of the TJC at the initial phase. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Now, you find that many people receive the Holy Spirit, confirming to us that they obey what? The truth that the church preached. Okay? Now, it goes to show that you know, what the church have received is the truth, actually is from God. Otherwise, the Spirit would not have been given. That's the principle You understand what I'm saying? The coming of the Spirit confirmed that the truth that we receive is of God. That is the apostolic principle. Now, I want you to read another verse. Okay, we turn to Galatians. Galatians. I quite like this pronunciation, Galatians. That's what I say, Galatians. You know Galatians? Okay. Chapter 3. Okay, we read verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2. And then we read verse 5. All right, now, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit? Talking about how did the members or how did the believers receive the Spirit? Is it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith, all right? Now, faith comes from the hearing of the word of God. When you hear the word, okay, if the truth is preached correctly, after having heard the word, when you pray, then you receive the Holy Spirit. This is what the church has been experiencing all the time. Okay? You get what I'm saying? Now, if you ask the truth seekers, any truth seekers, especially those who have received the Holy Spirit, they'll tell you. The Spirit in them confirmed to them that the truth that they have received is true. This is the principle. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, today you have received the Holy Spirit in the true Jesus Church. Therefore, the preaching here is of the truth. You get what I'm saying? Right? Okay, now we come back to 1 John. First John chapter 4. Okay, now let's look at verse 3 now. Verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Okay? Now, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, here we find that John is no longer talking about those who deny that Christ has come in the flesh. He's talking about the spirit that is at work, that is behind this, what? This drive, you know, that caused so many people not to believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Okay? Now, so when you shift your belief unto something which is not taught in the Bible, which is not what the church has received, then you are in danger of receiving another spirit. You practically open yourself up, say it this way, you expose yourself, what? To the infiltrations of another kind of spirit. Is that clear? That's why whatever has been given to you, whatever the church has taught you, you need to hold on to it because you have received the Holy Spirit in TJC. Right? Now, we met, there was one time, yeah, we met two pastors from other churches. They are from the, what do you call it? UPC. Have you heard of this? UPC. But we are TJC. You know what it stands for? United Pentecostal Church. Okay? Two pastors from this. They believe in speaking in tongues. They believe in the receiving of the Holy Spirit. You know, when they came, they prayed, they spoke in tongues. But, you know, the workers of God, knew that they didn't have the Holy Spirit. But, you know, the church kept quiet, so we continue with what? With the seminars for 2 weeks. You know what happened? So two of them, these two guys actually came not to search for the truth initially. They were just a bit curious. They wanted to find out a bit more about TJC. Okay? So after 1 week of seminar, hey, they realized that, oh, okay, it's in the Bible. Whatever is preached is based on the Bible. So they started praying. You know, they pray the way that we pray. So thank God, miraculously, you know what happened? Both of them received the Holy Spirit. They testified. Now the tongue that I speak is different from my previous tongue. And they requested for baptism. The church said, no, we don't really know you. Why should we baptize you? He said, if I die, what are you going to do? So quickly baptize them. Thank God now they are very strong. No longer in UPC, but in TJC. Right? And you find that this confirmed to us, the spirit in the TJC is correct, and because of the presence, or because of the abiding presence of the Spirit, and that confirms to us that whatever we have received is of the truth. You get what I'm saying? Right? Here we talk about the 10 basic beliefs, not basic belief, 10 article of faith. Now you can imagine if someone challenges the 10 basic article or the 10 article of faith, then you can think for yourself. What is at work? Can it be the work of the Spirit? No. Alright? That's why we say we cannot joke with the Word of God. This is life and death. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? You're here to be taught the knowledge of God. Especially what? The basic belief of the church. It's not mine. It's not yours. Right? That belongs to God. Right? No one could have known the perfect truth of salvation if God has not revealed to us. None of us. Is this the Word of God? Okay. I'm tired. Let's pray.